let's get back to the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Here comes the clown.
Saw a couple photos from Haymarket Park over the weekend where people were enjoying their first beer at a Nebraska baseball game like it was celebrating it like it was the birth of their first child or something like that.
Momentous occasion.
It really is. So Kevin Suits tweeted out a guy with one of the beer hats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he had the straws that were just permanently attached to his mouth. Nice. I heard it went pretty well, aside from some lengthy lines.
Was Kathy outside picketing?
Kathy was not happy about the guy with the beer hat.
Oh, I bet.
That's
not
for sure. What about the children? About the children, Josh?
Now, I assume if I drove up to Haymarket today, there would just be piles of wrecked vehicles, one on top of the other, like it was a scene out of the Blues Brothers. Right?
I heard it did lead to some liveliness in the park on Friday night. A little juice in the park on Friday night.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, like maybe it's a home field advantage. It's almost like this doesn't matter at all. Just like it was at Pinnacle Bank Arena when they started selling beer at Nebraska men's and women's basketball games. But people really complained about the lines at first, and they were like, geez, they got to do something about this. Trev was like, okay, I guess we'll do something about this. But also, once you get over the novelty of it, it just...
people buy less of it.
Yeah.
And then you're
people
more prepared.
Buy less of it, number one, and you're more prepared, and, you know, you just... it becomes a normal part of life after that, just like any other baseball game of all time. So it's good to hear it generally went off without a hitch, as expected, unless you're Kathy.
And nobody died?
And there were many hitches, because there were many children who had to watch their fathers and mothers drink beers
in public.
What a horror. Yep. What a horror. Speaking of being draft week, Josh, we mentioned this in the last segment right before we went to break. Just saw a tweet from our friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, hello.
All caps. J.J. McCarthy, number 2 overall? Question mark? And then they leave out some odds. When market opened, 20-1. 1 week ago, 15-1. Currently, 9-1. Yeah, don't click on that. We don't want that to show up on other people's timelines. It's not happening. Just so you guys know.
Also, if you're an NFL franchise, don't draft J.J. McCarthy.
So, I wonder what FanDuel has as like his specific draft position over under at the moment. I'm gonna check on that real quick.
Ooh, good question.
Let me see.
Might be a good play there. FanDuel.com/Happer.
NFL draft position for J.J. McCarthy. Over under 5.5. So this is my week of draft guess on what happens with him.
Under? Is that the right terminology for that?
Under would be closer to 1.
Yes.
That's what you're saying is going to happen?
I think he's going to go number 4.
Interesting. Here's my guess. There's been all this buzz about J.J. McCarthy. And yes, we are definitely in the danger zone of some team tricking themselves that he is the answer. But his draft position, like his draft stock, if it's a stock, it randomly rises, you know, after in this time between pro days and the actual draft happened. And so everyone thinks he's going to go top 5. And then we trick ourselves into believing that he deserves to go to top 5. And then he gets drafted at like 18 or 22 overall or something like that. And it was like, why did he fall so much?
He sat there all day.
He didn't.
And we watched him fall for 6 hours.
He wasn't even supposed to be a first round quarterback in the first place. But we tricked ourselves into believing that he's going to be a top 5 pick. And this guy's stock went soaring into the roof because for some reason everybody told us that something was going to happen. And then he gets drafted in a position which is reasonably normal. And everyone's like, man, that poor kid. He had to sit in the green room the entire time while the camera was on him. And he didn't do any of this, which I actually agree with. But he was never supposed to be drafted in the top 5. Either that will happen or somebody will be an idiot.
Good take by you.
One of the two. Let's see. A text from the 402.
I-402.
Beer in Haymarket Park is only a story because people who don't like it make it a story.
Kathy.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Nobody would say Warner Park isn't family-friendly. I'm over it. We're not talking about Memorial Stadium where logistics actually make it a worthwhile conversation. That's a good take from the text line. It's a good take.
Good text.
Well done. Well done, texter. Speaking of beer sales, load them up. Connor Asesian is a Husker. That's right, Josh. Pull up the graphic.
There it is.
The S-Man?
Yeah, I was struggling.
The S-Man, Josh?
Yeah, it was not my best work. Not my best pun.
Leave the horrible nicknames to me.
Okay?
You don't want to get a name for yourself. Because then every time Nebraska basketball gets a player, everyone looks to you and says, what horrible thing are you going to say this time? So you just put yourself into that conversation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll say this. As you may have noticed, Nebraska has gotten commitments from Andrew Morgan out of the Summit League. They got the guy, Gavin, from Rutgers. Former top 75 player, didn't display a lot of those talents a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Raleigh Worcester, the point guard from Utah, and now Connor. They got a Connor, a Raleigh, an Andrew, and a Gavin. Does that sound like a basketball team to you? Josh, you got a smile on your face. You got a smile on your face. You got a Bryce and a Juwan.
Oh, okay.
You still have those guys.
They're still there.
Yeah. Yep.
That's better.
So with that being said, I think there is a really fair critique about the way that they have built this roster and what they've done in the portal over the last couple weeks. It lacks athleticism, as we just referenced. And the hope is, with the way that you've actually done it, is to take guys, specifically Griffiths and Asesian, who have been touted as three-point shooters but haven't necessarily been in their most recent seasons and their previous stops, you're asking for those guys to improve in Hoiberg's quote-unquote more open offense. That is the hope, and I think the critique on that is that, you're coming off the loss in the NCAA tournament to Texas A&M. Everyone thought, oh boy, you just kind of got bullied, right? You got pushed around a little bit. You got out-athleticed. They really took advantage of that in Nebraska's NCAA tournament game. And I think that is fair. However, there's a couple things where I would say, I'm really okay with this. I'm really okay with how they've done it so far. I think it lacks top end. I think it lacks the ability to really bully people and the physicality and stuff like that. I think that's true, but also I will say that I'm okay with it. I once again think that this is about raising the floor. If they drop down and go below 500 next year with a bunch of guys who are like athletic projects, and then we're talking about, and it doesn't come together for whatever reason, then we're talking about Hoiberg getting fired again and the whole thing gets off the rails, right? Get yourself into a spot to be playing competitive, meaningful basketball in February, let the chips fall where they may. That should be every season for Nebraska basketball. What they've gotten is a little bit of experience, a little bit of know-how, a little bit of skill, and a little bit of shooting. And I'm okay, that's how they've done it over the last two or three years. Maybe they had a couple more dudes, that will really attack you on the defensive end. I guess what I'm worried about is Nebraska right now on said defensive end. But with that being said, you don't have to play Texas A&M every night, just to use Texas A&M as kind of the athletic boogeyman in this case.
Sure.
You don't have to play them every night in the Big Ten. You don't. What you see in the Big Ten is a lot of brute force without pressure and shooting and skill on the perimeter. That's what you get in the conference. It's not like you got a bunch of dudes who are just pressing all up on you and you have to be the most physical team in the world to withstand this. You don't get that every night in the Big Ten. So I'm fine with the way that they're building their team. I think they're continuing to kind of raise the floor because I think that's what it's about. And yes, it does lack a top end in terms of a ceiling and what you could do on a for a season-long basis. But that's okay. Nebraska could play their way right into being right where they were last year, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seed, somewhere around there. And that is a reasonable thing to get with the group that they have right now, plus hopefully one more in the transfer portal. I am fine with the way they build it. I think it's going to be hard. I think also, in terms of player acquisition, I think it's hard for Nebraska to get established guys in the portal, right? Established.
Definitely.
You know, like this guy's going to be a first-round pick next year. Because, I mean, think about Chucky. Like, why isn't Chucky going to go to Nebraska? Because Chucky just got done playing 3 years at Wisconsin. He went to the NCAA tournament last year. He wants to go to the NCAA tournament, and he wants to win in the NCAA tournament. Like it or not, that's why he's not going to Nebraska. And I don't know where he's. Maybe he ends up at Creighton. Maybe he ends up at Michigan State. Maybe he ends up at wherever Chucky ends up. Wherever he ends up, just know he's going to go somewhere with some established cred. Like they would have won NCAA tournament games in the last couple of years. That's my guess on what happens with Chucky. That's where he wants to spend his last year of college basketball. Nebraska, frankly, just doesn't have a history of that at this point. And because of that, they've gone after some guys who, like I said, raise the floor. And until you do that, it's going to be hard to come up with some of the top-end, top guys that they want out of the portal. I think they've done as good as they can with what they have and what they have to offer at this point. I am fine. Very few critiques on what Fred has done so far, although I understand the opposition.
Stock up on the Band-Aids, am I right? Got a bunch of bleeders on this team.
Oh, they got more bloody guys?
Probably.
Who's bleeding now?
All the white guys.
Is that what happens? Yeah. White guys? Those
white
the guys,
just get all bloodied up.
Charles writes in.
Hi, Charles.
With a lot of things. Let me roll through them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lunch pail guys. Going to have a lot of coaches on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of high IQ guys on the floor.
Definitely.
It's a bunch of gym rats.
Oh, yeah. Pack a lunch.
Just get ready for that next year. I can't wait till Stephen Bardo does a Nebraska basketball game. He's going to be like, this group is just gritty. You know, Sam Hoiberg's still on the team. We'll see what happens with Mast, and then maybe you get one more guy. It's a coherent basketball team, right? But, like, everyone has these dreams about how they can rebuild in the portal. I like Nebraska having an idea of what they want to do and then doing it, rather than just saying, let's go shoot shots at the best 7 guys in the portal and see if we can get one of them. And then don't end up with them. And then you're on the back end, you're like, crap, what are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like them knowing what they want and figuring out a team based on what they can reasonably get. I like that. Joel writes in.
Hi, Joel.
He says Worcester is a really good defender, and Tominaga and Wiltshire were terrible defenders. What they've gotten are improvements on that part of it. Yeah, no, I said, it is a coherent basketball team. I understand the complaint. To be clear, once again, I'm not mad. Don't put it on the internet that I'm mad. Once again, not mad. Danielle, another one. Some of these guys are deceptively fast. Some deception in that, Josh.
Sneaky fast guys.
Oh, here. Okay, Jeff, come on. We were going to go the whole segment without saying it. Let's just say the quiet thing out loud. They got a bunch of white guys.
Whoa,
Jeff,
whoa.
Jeff, nobody said that.
No.
But they got guys named Raleigh, Andrew, Connor. Connor might be the whitest name ever. I'm Connor. I'm white. I'm extremely white.
You can say those things.
That's right. I am of Connor. And who was the other guy? Gavin. Even whiter, if we're being honest. Poll question, what is the whiter name, Connor or Gavin?
Love it.
Yeah, send that one out there at Happer Show. Mike Schaefer will have a comment on Nebraska basketball, and we will grill him on his positivity. Why is this man so positive? As the old curmudgeon of the Nebraska media, he has decided to heel turn and say that Nebraska is good once again at football.
Is this a bit?
This is very weird. Is this a bit? We'll ask him next on 1620 The Zone.